Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Milan Jurkovic, Dr. Sherry Keffer, Chris Williams, and Dr. Alice Benton. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Okay, welcome to New Life Live. Larry Sonnenberg sitting in for Steve Arterburn today. And I'm fortunate I'm sitting between Dr. Sherry Keffer.
Hi, Sherry.
And Chris Williams.
Yes, I'm the fortunate one.
Yeah.
I get to be with Larry Sonnenberg and Dr. Sherry Keffer.
Oh, all right, man.
Well, you know, this is November. The first week is already gone. We're getting close to Thanksgiving. And it's just that time of year that we kind of switch our focus to gratitude and thankfulness. And there was a little definition or quote that someone showed me here today. It says, gratitude consists of being more aware of what you have than what you don't. And I thought that was a pretty good definition.
Yeah, I think that's great.
Ron and I were joking about something at home, and I don't remember what it was, but it was about going back 40 or 50 years and thinking about growing up without a dryer. You know, you had a washing machine, but didn't have a dryer. We hung the clothes out to dry, and the TV.
You are old.
TV was black and white, and you had to get up and go change the channel of this little box. And how grateful or ungrateful I think so many younger people are because they haven't seen that kind of a change, and it's all so easy for them now.
Yeah. So. There's so much to be grateful for, seriously, if we look around. I mean, I walked in today, and I was like, hey, everybody, great to see you. And I'm like, it's great to be above ground today.
It is.
But really, yeah. Just to be alive is an area of gratitude, and that's a whole lot.
Well, and I believe it's more important as in any other time in my life for us to cultivate gratitude. Our heart follows our eyes, meaning that our heart follows what we see and what we look at. And when we look at the things that we're grateful for, that's critically important. And the reason why it's important now is because the news is bombarding us with negativity and things to be fearful of or anxious about or just downright in despair. And we have to resist that.
Yeah. Well,
I want to tell you something I'm really grateful for. We have this matching challenge going, $267,700.
Wow.
And in 2 minutes, I want to tell you quickly how that came about, because I think it's a real God story. We were meeting with a group of donors and friends, Steve and I and some other staff. And a few days before our meeting, someone who was invited to go that couldn't gave me a call. And during that call in our discussion, she said, I want to give you guys $5,000, and I want you to challenge the group to give money and come up with a pooled fund that we could go challenge your audience with.
So great.
So it was a meeting I had to fly into, and the first person I see when I get there to the hotel was a woman who had donated before, and she walked up to me and said, I'm so glad to see you. I want you to know when I get home, I'm going to give you $30,000, and I'd like you to use it for a match. Like, wow, $35,000.
And these two people didn't talk to each other.
No, they didn't talk. Aww. They don't even know each other.
Do you see God's fingerprints?
Well, that's not it. Later Rhonda and I are talking to a couple, and he's asking questions about our finances and such. And the next morning at breakfast, he hands me a note and says that he and his wife want to give $65,000 towards match. So I haven't asked a single person for anything, and I've got $100,000 to go challenge the bigger group with.
That's amazing.
And when I challenged them to add to it, 35 more people came forward, and the total of all these people is $267,700.
Wow.
That's incredible. If you're listening and you want to be a part of a God movement, give us a call and say you want to be a part of that matching challenge, because your gift will be doubled. We will use that money against the matching challenge and only use the amount that has been given originally to the match when you match it. So please call us, 800-NEW-LIFE. You could go to newlife.com and make a gift. You could send a check to P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. We'll be right back.
I am just so thankful for this weekend. It's been amazing to see how Satan messes up marriages in so many ways.
My name is Shelly Martinkus, and I want to personally invite you to the Restore Workshop. If you have been affected by betrayal, it might be that your husband has been looking at pornography. It might be an emotional, a physical affair. I would love for you to come join us.
Through Shelly's example, I have seen such transparency. It's just been amazing. I've just been able to let out all the yucky details.
You will leave with hope, with a community of sisters ready to support you, and you will also leave with tools to move you forward on this journey. Please don't hesitate. Pick up the phone, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I would love to see you there.
The Restore Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C., November 10th through the 12th. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. We're going to go straight to the phones after one thing.
Can I say one little thing?
You can.
So you know the picture I had in my mind, Larry, when you were telling that story, is starting, like lighting a match. Mm. I thought, this is one way where you light a match. Every match matters. And when you light a match, you start a wildfire. This is like our wildfire match. That's just so cool.
The sad part is we've announced this for a few days, and we have received $18,000. Not sad that we received that, but going towards $267,000 by the end of the month, it's not what we had hoped the response to be. So if you could respond, you know what? The gifts range from $50. We had $100 gifts. We had $1,000 gifts. We had another gift of $30,000. So the gifts are all over the board.
Yeah. So every match matters.
Yeah, every match. Yeah. Doesn't matter how big. So thank you for saying that. This Friday, there is a KFAX Listener Appreciation Event. If you live up in the San Jose, San Francisco area, November 10th, it's Christ Community Church of Milpitas at 7 p.m. Steve, Jill, and Chris are going to talk for a few minutes. We're going to have a tape of New Life Live radio program live there, give away some prizes. You can go to newlife.com for more details. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Yvonne. Listens in L.A. on KKLA. Hello, Yvonne.
Hi. How are you guys?
Good. How can we help you?
I have a question. I have a son, he's 9 years old, and his father has been inconsistent for the past 9 years. And what I mean by that is he will kind of pop in and out every other month. And spend time with him. Sometimes he will stick around for 3 weeks straight and call and want to see him, and then he'll kind of go missing again for about a month or two. And then kind of come back in, and when I try to set a boundary and say, you know, there needs to be consistency because it's for the well-being of our son, he wants to, you know, he gets mad at me and he cusses me out and makes me out to be a crazy person for wanting that. And I think that it's not healthy for our son to be going through something like that where there's no consistency. And they couldn't find him, so they couldn't serve him so that I can get something legally where we can set something up so there can be some kind of consistency. Unfortunately, that didn't happen, so then we've tried doing it verbally, and he just won't agree with me. He thinks he can just come whenever he wants because he's the father. And although I've kind of just gone with it, I haven't been in a healthy place myself. I've been going through a lot. And at this point, I just need to think about what is best for my son as well as for myself because it stresses me out, and I don't know what to do.
Yvonne, is the father of your son your husband, or was he your husband?
No, we were never married. Okay. We were in a really long relationship for about 7 years before I got pregnant. Unfortunately, it wasn't a healthy relationship to begin with, and I was not. I was blinded. I got pregnant, and it's been unhealthy ever since.
So what is your question for us, Yvonne? We get your heart, and we're grieved over this, but what do you want to know from us today?
I want to know what would be the appropriate boundary, or if I'm doing the right thing by speaking up to him and not, I guess my question is, how can I set a boundary that is appropriate in this situation? I don't know what to do. I don't know if it's just fine for him to kind of come and go whenever he wants, if that's not going to affect my son, but then I don't know.
Yeah.
So I have a really different take on it. I'm not sure where you're coming from, Chris, but let me jump in first. So this is one of those situations where you have a deadbeat dad who really is not taking his parenting, you know, the responsibility and privilege of being a dad serious. And you have been asking him. You have been inviting him. You've been even letting him know what's healthy and not healthy. And you know what? He feels entitled. He really doesn't think he has to do anything different. So my take is, instead of trying to get blood out of a turnip, what about looking for another resource or a couple other resources for your son that could be dad roles? Starting to get some other good guys, good godly guys around him. I've got a friend of mine who, his name is Dan. I actually did one of the shows on TV.NewLife with him. But he ended up becoming a father figure for a kid. And I'm telling you, this young man just fell in love with Dan, and Dan would take him to the beach, and he'd go on all these things. He'd go bike riding, and he just loved on this boy. And that young man started connecting and attaching to him, and it was good for him. And so your son needs it. Sometimes we try to fill what isn't working, you know, try to do something that's not working, but sometimes you have to kind of move away from that and start feeding your son in a different way, emotionally.
How old is your son?
He's 9, right?
He's 9 years old.
Yeah, and his dad, this has been happening for 9 years, so we've got a long-term pattern. I don't know, what are your thoughts, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, similar to that, my concern is for the son. I mean, his heart is being tossed around like a yo-yo in relationship to his father. And so he has a strong desire to be with his father, and yet every time his father goes dark or goes absent, there's an abandonment wound that happens all over again. So, I mean, this is really damaging behavior.
Right.
And it needs a boundary. And Yvonne, I want you to hear that crystal clearly. It needs a boundary. If he wants to see your son, he has to give at least 2-week notice. The time has to be set by you, and it has to be limited, if it's there at all. And the most important thing is, I believe, is that your son be able to talk about his experience the best way he can. I mean, he's 9. There's maybe a lot of emotions that get in the way of him being able to express it clearly. But just for him to be able to talk about that experience. But I also believe that his dad is not in a safe, healthy place. It does sound to me like addictive behavior. I don't know that as a fact, but he's just not able to show up as dad. So let's call it for what it is, and that he has to earn the right to show up as dad.
So let me spar with you so we can be one step ahead for her. Mm-hmm. What if she tries to set that boundary, and then he looks at her and says on the phone, whatever, you don't own me. I'm going to come when I want to come. What does she do?
Well, I think that she can take that to the next level and get some legal advice around that, you know, and really look at, you know, I mean, there's 730 evaluations. There's different things that she can do, especially here in L.A., to protect her son in this situation. And I don't know if there's a legal custody agreement, if he's followed that agreement or if he hasn't followed that agreement. There's a lot of legal things that she could do here.
Okay, Yvonne. I think, I mean, great advice, setting the boundaries, and then Sherry finding somebody else. know, there's scouting programs, there's YMCA programs, there's Little League programs where you get coaching, and I don't know what else there is, but there are things that you can get involved with your son.
Yep.
That would touch him. Yeah. But I want to thank you for the call. Tough situation. And what should we send her?
Oh. Probably take your life back.
Yeah.
Because really, she's got some stuff that she says going on in her heart. But it's really about taking the authority over her life and her son's life. So we don't wait for somebody else in order to get our needs met. We have to own that process.
Well, and I think I want to add on to what you're saying, Sherry, because one of the things I admire about you is that when you say something, there is a strength, a solid foundation behind it. And Yvonne is uncertain right now, and she needs to find that internal strength. She is more powerful than what she realizes right now.
There you go. Yep.
Okay, let's talk to Don in Redding, California. Listens on KFIA. Hello, Don. How can we help you? Hello?
Hello?
Don, how can we help you? Thank you for calling.
Hi. How do I maintain my own peace and joy in the midst of having a mother that shows little interest in my life, and despite my repeatedly asking her over years to empathize with my hurts and heart, she talks only about the externals. And I am in a situation where I live with her, and that's another subject right now, but should I not interact with her except about the daily externals, since she has refused to tune into my heart?
Hey, Don, what do you expect from your mother?
I expect her to be empathetic to my emotions and disappointments.
Okay, so let me jump in. Has she ever met that expectation?
Very little.
Okay, so
she has at times, but
yeah. So there may be moments when she does that, but for the most part, she over the course of your life has not been able to meet that expectation.
No, despite my repeatedly asking her to.
Yes. So now it's time to change your expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if someone behaves in a certain way over a long period of time, and we expect them to do something different, that's on us, not them.
Yeah, I'm having trouble changing my expectations.
It's hard because there's a lot of expectations that we naturally hold towards our parents. You know, we naturally desire their love. We naturally desire, like you said, their empathy and their deep connection.
Mm-hmm.
But as she can deal with externals, it's most likely she hasn't dealt with her own internals and doesn't know how to connect at that deeper level.
Which I believe that's true.
Yeah.
No. So what Chris is saying is so true. And I think the path for you, it's not going to feel good because it's really going to be grief.
Right, it is.
It's going to be letting go. Townsend and Cloud, as we all know, are brilliant. And they wrote this.
I love them.
Don't you? Good. Okay. Yeah. So then the book you have on your bookshelf already, that's called Safe People, because I'm sure you have that one.
I don't have that.
Oh, girl.
Go get it.
Okay.
We'll send it.
Okay. So let me tell you. They talk about in the book Safe People this concept called defended hope.
Okay.
And it's when we hope against hope.
Mm-hmm.
It's when we have these expectations that hold us hostage, and we get hooked in that unrequited longing.
Right.
We get hooked in what we want to happen, just like Chris totally narrowed in on. And the path out of that is to deal with this ending of your expectations. You're going to have to grieve the loss of the mom you never got.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm working on, is trying to let go of the expectations.
Yeah. Well, it's going to mean a little bit like our last caller. It's going to mean grieving what you're not getting from your mom, but then going and getting the good someplace else.
Yeah.
It's like when someone is starving and you tell them you just can't eat any food, that makes them even want to starve more. But it's like you're starving with your mom, but you want to go find someone where you can get somewhat of a banquet, or at least a burger or something to chew on for a while that is love related.
Yeah.
And
I've tried that, and
But that's a whole other story. Okay. I got one friend on the planet. Everyone else drops me.
Okay. Well, honey, guess
truly
what?
Truly well-adjusted.
Well, but this is the deal. Is there something going on with you that would keep you that isolated and that afraid of letting your heart get connected to others? It may be the very wound that your mom created mm-hmm. in not loving you. Mm-hmm. And so unconsciously, we wall off our hearts. Mm-hmm. I did it for years.
Yeah,
I kept
people... I haven't done that, but...
Well, but when someone tells me they have one friend, honey, you know what I say? Why? What's going on in you that would cause you to have one friend? And we have to go deeper and look at that. Larry wanted to say something.
I just wanted to say with that book that you're recommending, The Safe People, it's such a rich book.
And it's huge.
If she'll take that and read it, and not just read it, take it to heart.
Yeah.
You know, people read the Bible and think they're going to get holy, and they got to put it into action. They got to do it. And that's what I want to encourage her to do.
And then I would say, you need to get into a small group, my
there
dear.
You go.
That's
yeah.
where I recovered, was
Amen.
With other people's faces right in front of me.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Hi, welcome back. Before we go back to the phones, we were talking at the top of the hour about this matching challenge that we have from a group of donors. And to encourage you with that, I want you to hear from David, who called and told us about why he gave towards that.
This is David Livingston from Virginia Beach, Virginia. I've had a testimony for New Life for a while. I gave to this challenge because of the work that New Life does in transforming lives. They personally affected my life when I couldn't find help through other counseling services and counselors in my area. I turned to their counseling line, and I was able to find a counselor who could affect my life and impact my life immediately, and they did, through sending me to specific programs and through the church and changing my life, where the Lord has now completely transformed my life from my former life of addiction and personality disorders to one now of service and productivity. I believe in you guys 1,000%, more than any organization I know of. So I just encourage everybody to support New Life and the work they do, because it is truly transforming lives.
Well, that's why we would hope that you might give towards this matching challenge. Help us meet that $267,000 goal that others have come up with already. You can call us at 800-NEW-LIFE. You can go online or you could mail us a check, however you'd like to do it. But let's go back to the phones and let's talk with Lynn. She's in Denver, Colorado. Hello, Lynn. How can we help you?
Hi. I kind of have three questions about my marriage situation. So just a little background. We've been married 25 years. It's always been kind of a struggle in our relationship. Both Christians. But 6 years ago, though, he became alcoholic, and he's now, I mean, he's 6 months sober. So he's 2 years ago said he was divorcing me, and we kind of back together. Then recently, in the last 5 months, he is getting sober. He's hardly talked to me and lives in the basement, doesn't wear his ring. And then we just did a couple counseling sessions. I still don't really know his goal. I think it's to figure out if this is better or not. But he said, and even last night, that he's single, wants to be single. The main thing, he wants to be single, and I can see other people. And I just, my three questions that go with that is, what's an appropriate, boundary? It's just a very toxic, stressful situation for me to have him there living like a roommate. We're married. We are legally separated. I did that a year and a half ago because when he was drinking, he started taking out of the retirement. Yeah. And my pastor said,
Lynn, we need you to give us a question. Your line, the phone line's really bad. It's hard to understand you. Can you just give us your question? We might put you on hold and talk to you from there.
Okay. So my questions are, is there an appropriate boundary? Is it biblical to have the courts or somehow get him to move out? And then also, my condoning his behavior of living single when he's married if I let him stay in the house.
Okay. How do you guys want to approach this one?
I think he's just traded addictions, my dear. I really do.
What does that mean?
Well, sometimes when people go into, go into recovery, they end up, quote unquote, getting sober from one toxin, like alcohol. You said he's 6 months sober, correct? But
correct.
Then they exchange it for another way of getting a high. So what he's doing is he's actually, in a very sneaky, deceptive sort of way, telling you what he's doing. He's saying, I want to be single. I want to see other people. So my hunch is he's probably down in the basement looking at porn. He's looking at hookup sites. And whether he's gone out and acted on that or not, you don't know, right? Because you're not God.
Well, actually, he said he didn't say he said, I can see other people.
But
said, I don't know if I want to.
Yeah, that's called projection.
Yeah, yeah. He's putting it on you to make you wrong and bad to cover for what he's doing. I don't know what he's doing, but just that kind of projection tells you a lot about something bad that's going down inside of him. So I don't know. I'm not God. I can't say for sure, but something isn't good that's going on for him to look at you and say, hey, go ahead. The worst, even if that's not happening, it's like you have an adolescent in your house that doesn't want to be a participating, partner and husband, and he's just, wanting to live there rent free. So
wants to be single. And
okay, so
we don't interact.
Yeah, so Lynn, let me jump in. You're telling me everything that tells me that you don't have a marriage. You're legally separated. You've been legally separated for a year. He lives in the basement. So let me ask you this question: what kind of roommate is he?
He's not. It's my soul, because I still want to work on things and be married, because I believe God, what he joins,
yes.
He went to counseling. I don't know why he's going.
Well, I think that you do need very strong boundaries. He either works on the marriage or gets out of the house, period.
But I'm a little concerned, Lynn, about your level of denial.
Yeah.
Truly, there is a level of denial that's worrisome. The idea that you've called us today, you've had to have a legal separation on him, And now he doesn't really even want to be in a relationship with you. And you're saying, I really want to work on it? What's there to work on?
Yeah, he hasn't been financially faithful, emotionally faithful, and I very seriously doubt he's sexually faithful.
So we're worried about you.
Okay, we'll be back right after this.
Last year after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
As you're doing God's work here, you're restoring marriages, you're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
You know, one of the great things about TV.NewLife.com is some people will never read a little chapter of a book, but you can put a video in front of them and say, hey, honey, watch this with me. And they'll sit down and they'll watch that five-minute clip, and that five-minute clip may change their lives forever and, of course, may change yours. Here's what one of our viewers on New Life Television said.
We looked at the budget. We decided, you know, I'm not getting those benefits from Netflix, so we canceled Netflix and subscribe to the good stuff.
If you have a problem, we have a program to match that problem, and it's going to provide you hope, help, and healing. You know, I don't know what you're waiting for. You will never find a better value than all of the transforming content that you'll find at tv.newlife.com. Your life will never be the same. We really are proud to be part of tv.newlife.com.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. Well, Lynn, the connection is not good enough to bring you back on the line, but Chris has some thoughts he wants to finish up with here real quick.
Yeah, first off, Lynn, I appreciate your call. We're going at this really strong, mostly because we're concerned about you. We want you to see that your husband is in a very dangerous place and he's not safe for you. So we're going to recommend three things. The first thing that we're going to tell you is set the boundary. Let him know he has to work on the marriage, get honest, get real, and get into couples counseling, or move out. There's no gray matter here. There's no in-between line there. I know it's a hard one. You're going to need a lot of support for a decision like that and a lot of support for yourself. So we want you to get into a 12-step support group, Al-Anon or CODA. Al-Anon is for those who are married to alcoholics. CODA is just really addressing all areas of codependency in your life. So something that you really struggle with that you need support and help and recovery from. And the last thing is a good counselor can really help you navigate this and really help you see some of the blind spots in your own life, but also strengthen those parts that need to be able to set those boundaries. We have great therapists in the New Life Network there in Denver and in that area. So stay on the line. We're going to give that to you. And one other thing, we're going to send you a copy of Boundaries in Marriage.
Lynn, thank you for calling. Appreciate that. Before we go to the next caller, I just wanted to remind folks, when you do make a give, against our matching challenge, we want to send you a new calendar for 2018. It's a wall calendar, beautiful pictures. Every picture in the calendar was taken by one of our New Life staff members somewhere. And it's kind of cool. And there's little pearls of wisdom on each page from our radio program, from you guys, and passage of scripture. So anyway, give us a call, ask for the calendar, make a gift, and we'd love to send it to you. Let's talk to Lisa. Lisa calls. She's a listener on WAVA in Washington, D.C. areas. Hello, Lisa. How can we help you?
Hi. First of all, thank you so much. I'm so excited that I got to talk to you.
Well, we're excited you called.
Thank you so much. Well,
that was gratitude. That was gratitude. We opened the show with gratitude. Just your giggle and your excitement. It just warmed my heart too, our hearts. So.
Oh, yeah. Good. Well, I appreciate you guys so much. I've been dying to get relief from a burden that I am carrying. And my question is, can you help me get a new perspective on how can I be happy if my dad is not happy? Mm. That's my question.
Hmm. So what's going on with your dad?
I need a little more info.
Okay. So I am in Maryland, and my dad is in another state. And my mom passed away a little over a year ago. They were married 65 years. And my dad and my mom always lived together in the home I grew up in. Well, last year my dad, he had to move into a private care home. He had some health issues. He's partially paralyzed from a stroke. He's 87. And he is being well cared for as far as he is the only patient. He's being cared for by a Christian at his church and a retired nurse, and he's being fed with good food, and he's being, cared for. That's the issue, is that he misses my mom. He misses being in his own home. He's no longer able to drive, or because he's partially paralyzed, he's not able to go back into his own home. And he really, really wants to be in his own home. And I have two older sisters who have said, Dad, that's not going to happen. It's really important you be where you are. It's what God has provided. But for some reason, when my dad calls and says, "Please take me home," I am so hurting for my dad. I'm grieving for my mom, and I'm hurting for my dad. And I can't seem to let myself be free from the worry of it. And I don't know how to get a different perspective. I've prayed. I've just struggled with it, that I feel like I should not be happy as long as my dad isn't happy. Mm. I don't know if I'm making any sense. I'm really trying.
No, you're making a ton of sense. You're making a ton of sense. My heart actually is just broken for you, Lisa. First off, let me just say this. You and your sisters have done an amazing job of getting him care. Just what you said, and assuring us and all our listeners that he's in a place that he's being cared for well. And there's no one else there. He's got 100% attention of a nurse,
yes,
right, in his home. So I don't think you could have done anything better. But let me tell you what I think is going on for your dad. I think he's depressed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think he's dealing with tremendous grief. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine losing your spouse, your home, your body, everything that's familiar to you? Yeah, it is.
I can't, and I'm putting myself in his shoes constantly, and I am living in fear. I'm living in fear of being in his shoes one day. It absolutely terrifies me.
Well, and I get that, because when he calls you, he's desperate, right? You hear that desperate plea, help me, save me. So two things that I would recommend, and then I'll throw it to Chris, is the first thing, I really want that nurse to assess him for depression. Mm-hmm. And even though he's 87, people forget that our brain still needs support at 87. And he probably needs an antidepressant to help boost him, because if somebody has a brain that's depressed, they're going to think negative thoughts, and he's going to feel so trapped. And that brain chemistry needs to be boosted, and it may help him be able to enjoy things that are in his environment if he gets some support. Does that make sense? So please do that. Have a conversation. The other thing I want to say for you is, learning how to let your empathy guide you, but not destroy you mm-hmm. and take you out. Because I'm hearing over responsibility. I'm hearing yeah. that you're empathizing, but you're grieving as someone that has no hope instead of grieving as someone yeah. that is hopeful.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and that is my issue. I feel like, oh my gosh, if Dad can't drive the car, then I shouldn't enjoy driving a car. Mm-hmm. If Dad can't go on a vacation, then I shouldn't go on a vacation. And, you know, here I am. I have three children. I'm a mom, and I have three children and my husband, and they are seeing me just
die.
So
You're
upset.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I don't deserve to be happy if my dad's stuck.
Yeah, there's grief for both of you.
Yeah.
This is tough. Yeah. This is tough.
With regards to your dad, does he have many things from his home where he's living?
Sorry.
Where he's living now, have you brought things over from his home? Pictures,
yeah.
music, things that he can be around to feel
yeah.
more at home?
And the problem, part of the problem is that he's in a different state, and so it's hard for me to feel like I'm not able to get to visit him. Often I'm going to try to go visit him for Thanksgiving, but that is part of my struggle is I can't go to visit him very often and provide some, you know, family time, and I just struggle with that.
Yeah.
Guilt.
So Lisa, let me jump in. You are going through an incredibly heartbreaking situation. You are dealing with your own tremendous grief and loss, as you've mentioned, as Sherry's mentioned, and. But you can't grieve your own grief and your dad's grief.
Right.
And so one of the things that I want you this requires a deeper level of trust. There's some harder work ahead of you. And I don't say this lightly, but I do know that it's true. There is situations here that are completely outside of your control that you are powerless against. That you literally can't. Now, your misery does not make the situation better. Your depression,
right.
your sadness does not make your dad's sadness any better.
Right.
Right. So another way to say it is two sick people don't make one well.
Exactly.
So I
exactly.
really.
And in my mind, I can understand that.
Yeah,
I
but practically, I want you to pray your dad into God's hands. He is going to get a new body here soon. Just like your mom does. He's going to get everything fresh and renewed. Heaven is a real thing. The other thing is that to really look at support for you, I want you to get a counselor. I want you to get a therapist to help just walk you through the grief and start just separating out between what is yours and what is dad's so that you can get your life back and you can participate in it.
A grief support group, Chris, and you say
yes.
that would be really good.
Yes.
So you have a place where you're understood.
That's perfect, Sherry. Yes.
We've got a little booklet called The Truth About. It's a series, and one of them is grief, and we'd like to send that to you, too.
Nice.
So we'll be back.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
I don't want my kids to think of me as the angry dad. Why can't I control my temper?
I feel like he's more like my roommate than my husband. How did we become this distant?
I hate looking in the mirror. No matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
I learned to just breathe again.
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours can change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I am just so thankful for this weekend. It's been amazing to see how Satan messes up marriages in so many ways.
My name is Shelley Martinkus, and I want to personally invite you to the Restore Workshop. If you have been affected by betrayal, it might be that your husband has been looking at pornography. It might be an emotional, a physical affair. I would love for you to come join us.
Through Shelley's example, I have seen such transparency.
It's just been amazing. I've just been able to let out all the yucky details.
You will leave with hope, with a community of sisters ready to support you, and you will also leave with tools to move you forward on this journey. Please don't hesitate. Pick up the phone, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I would love to see you there.
The Restore Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C. November 10th through the 12th. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Well, welcome back. We have time for one more call, and before we go to that call, I just want to remind you, if you're listening and you've been afraid to pick up the phone and go on radio and share what your hurt is or how you need help, just call our 800 number. It's 800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433. We just want folks to get the help they need. You know, it might be a book. You might need a counselor. There might be a group you can get involved with. There's so many ways that we can help you. So just give us a call at 800-NEW-LIFE and see how we can help you. And the other thing is, this Friday, the Restore Workshop starts. It's in Washington, D.C. So ladies, if your husband or your man in your life has done some things with sexual integrity that have caused you a real broken heart and a sense of betrayal, call us at 800-NEW-LIFE and ask about the Restore Workshop. Okay, let's go and let's talk to Jude from Green Bay, Minnesota. Jude, how can we help you today?
First of all, with prayer, that would be great. We are an Italian family that always had Sunday dinners with all of us, and that consisted of my four grandchildren, their spouses, and 10 grandchildren. We recently discovered that two of my children's spouses have been having an ongoing affair together. My children, I'm sorry, and my grandchildren have not been together since, not because of there's anything between them. It's just uncomfortable and awkward and just a bad situation all the way around. I'm asking you if you feel that I am wrong if I set a boundary for the holidays excluding the cheating spouses and having my four children together for the first time and my grandchildren together, who we were all so close. And I know that it'll never be the same again, but I'm accused of being unforgiving, and it's not about that. I have forgiven them. I just want to try to get what's left of my family together for a holiday.
Jude, are the affairs continuing?
I believe they have stopped, but they were going on for about 6 months, maybe longer.
And has there been any repair or reconciliation process?
They are all in Christian counseling.
Okay.
They are, the decisions of whether they are going to stay together or not have not been made. However, they are taking the steps to go to Christian counseling, because either way, everybody needs help.
Okay, yeah. So a boundary exists, again, for protection, not punishment.
Right.
So what are you trying to protect? Do you know that?
I would like to see my children get together and my grandchildren for the holidays.
Okay, and so why is it unsafe for the spouses who have had the affair to not be there? What makes
because
that safer?
They had the affair together.
With each other. Okay.
With each other.
Okay. And what's your fear?
Um, they probably would, I don't know, as far as the
fear of it being
my
awkward,
children's
probably.
Spouses,
mm-hmm.
In their therapy, it has been recommended by Christian counselors that they never have contact again.
Okay.
Hmm.
Yeah. And you wanna honor that.
God can do everything, but until
yeah.
that happens, then why should my grandchildren and my children suffer through it as far as not getting together and not having the family closeness that we always had since my children and my grandchildren were not the ones that did anything wrong? Why
okay.
should we be separated?
Yeah, well, I think there's a painful, painful truth, and that is when something like this occurs, which is pretty, like, complicated. It's a pretty, like,
mm-hmm.
severe situation.
Yeah.
That it's contagious. It gets on everyone. All
yeah.
innocent bystanders are affected. And that is a reality that is truly unfair, but it has to be dealt with, meaning that we have to recognize that you're right. Things will not be the same and that we have to adjust and deal to a new reality. And so if you're trying to grab a hold of what was, you're going to be fighting against yourself and everyone else and reality itself.
Yeah.
And so it requires a vision for something new out of this. And so
yeah.
so that's what I just wanted, the direction I want to encourage you on is this, like, as a result of this, what would I like to make of this situation going forward dealing with the facts?
Change of expectations, like we were talking on
yeah.
the previous caller.
Yeah. And I don't know if that's I'm providing very clear expectations, but a shift of perspective.
So what you're saying is that your four children, none of them had been unfaithful. This is your
oh.
children's spouses that have had
correct.
An affair with each other.
Correct.
So if my thought would be, instead of trying to manage chaos, is to let the people that the therapists are speaking to right now make choices about whether to join you or not.
There you go.
To go to your, because you've got, you know, two kids that have been wounded by this severely. Everybody's been wounded, but your kids that are directs, the one that it's their spouse, you go to them and you say, I understand that your therapist has said that you guys aren't supposed to be around the affair partner. If it's your daughter, right, that is the partner of the affair, then you ask her, do you want to come to Christmas? Do you feel comfortable coming to Christmas? Because I know you were
yeah.
told not to. And then let your kids make a decision instead of you being the
yeah.
one to
that's
make
exactly
that choice.
Right.
And
that's
by
exactly
asking
right.
them not to come, you're shunning them and you're shaming them.
It's using shame to
yeah.
fight shame, and it never works.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It never works.
So, Jude, it's a tough situation.
I wish we
had more time to help you, but we're getting really short on time here.
Maybe send her boundaries in marriage,
okay.
and that might be a helpful, you know, so she can understand there are places for boundaries, but it's a messy situation.
It is
a messy situation. You know, we're coming up on the very end of this program. We're getting closer to Thanksgiving. I wanted to close with a verse out of Philippians having to do with Thanksgiving, because this is reflective of how we feel about you, our audience, and those of you who are supporting us as well. Paul writes this, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And what a beautiful thing. I mean, it's hopeful, it's joyful, it's thankful.
And I think there needs to be that reminder. I think there's a lot of people out there who have begun the healing journey,
yeah.
have begun the recovery journey, and you've hit a tough spot.
Yeah.
And hope is waning right now.
Good point.
Listen, God is going to complete what he has started. Stay on track.
Persevere.
Be grateful. Be grateful for what you have, not what you don't, and keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I see that our Savior often works in the dark places,
yes.
right?
Boy, isn't that
he
the
was
truth.
Transformed in a tomb,
mm-hmm.
right? Think about the dark nights of our soul where we see some of the deepest, most personal work happen. So
yeah, it is.
The dark doesn't have to scare us because we've got the light.
Thank you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow.
Thanks for listening.
We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.